Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the UEFA Champions League. Europe's premier club football tournament has some spicy opening group matches this Tuesday evening. In the French capital, Paris Saint-Germain will be at home against the Gunners of Arsenal in a Group A encounter. Arsenal is coming off a 2-1 victory over Southampton 3 days ago in the English Premier League. The winning goal for the Gunners came on a disputed late penalty shot by Spanish midfielder Santi Cazorla. Cazorla is 31 years old, and according to Arsenal's longtime French manager, Arsene Wenger, he's part of a very experienced team.
I was used to play with much younger squads when we built the stadium because we had not the resources. Now today I have a team of more experienced players who are, for me, you're a top-level football player, you know, you have some exceptions, but the squad is between 24 and 30, basically. That's where you have a good combination of physical strength and experience. But we want to keep the fact to give a chance to young players and get the mixture right.
Arsene Wenger's Arsenal squad currently trails first place Manchester City by 5 points after 4 matches in the English Premier League. Man City is also in action Tuesday evening in the UEFA Champions League. Manchester City is at home against the German club Borussia Mönchengladbach in a Group C match. At a news conference in Manchester, England, Man City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola describe the German side as a quality opponent.
The teams from Schubert in Deutschland, they just played with three against me and said, okay, take a risk against me, but they play like this in all the games. So it's a brave team, a brave coach, and one of the best talents, teams and players in Europe right now. So if we let them play, we will suffer. So they have a lot of quality. The draw was difficult for us, especially, of course, for Barcelona is there, but especially with Gladbach. Gladbach, I know them, and it's a very, very good team.
With 12 points from 4 matches, Pep Guardiola and Man City currently lead the English Premier League, 2 points ahead of Chelsea and Everton. According to Guardiola, though, his team will need to improve to capture glory in both the Premier League and the UEFA Champions League.
So we are after 4 games in the Premier League. I would like to tell this brilliant audience and our fans the way we are first in the Premier League, the way we have played until now, it will be not enough to win the Premier League. So you have to improve. We have to improve to win the Premier League, what I saw in these 3 or 4 games. Of course, we are so happy for the results, for the numbers, for the way we played after 2 months. We are so happy. But it's not enough to win the Premier League and, of course, to achieve the big targets in the Champions League.
In other Champions League matchups Tuesday night, 5-time champion Barcelona is at home against Celtic of Scotland. Germany's Bayern Munich will meet visiting FC Rostov of Russia. FC Basel of Switzerland is matched against Ludogorets of Bulgaria. Benfica of Portugal will play Besiktas of Turkey. Dynamo Kiev of Ukraine will face Napoli of Italy. And PSV Eindhoven of the Netherlands will play Atletico Madrid of Spain.
G'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Sudanese American Soccer Federation recently organized a tournament just outside Washington, D.C., in Arlington, Virginia. Reporter Ian Bior has more details for us.
It's about 9:30 on a warm Sunday night, and a crowd has gathered around the winning team from California, who just barely took first place in the annual soccer tournament organized by the Sudanese American Soccer Federation in the East Coast city of Arlington, Virginia. Duach Jock, a South Sudanese native and captain of the winning team from California, says his competitive nature encouraged him to participate. But just spending time with his people is what really matters to him.
It's good seeing everybody come together every year, seeing new faces all the time. And that's what it is. It's a family event. As you can see, kids are here. And hopefully they can continue our tradition and keep that going.
Every year since 2002, Sudanese Americans from across the country gather for a weekend of cultural celebrations through a soccer tournament, traditional music, and dance organized by the Sudanese American Soccer Federation, or SASF, a nonprofit founded and run by Sudanese and South Sudanese Americans. This year, that gathering was held in Arlington, with the backdrop of the Washington Monument overlooking the soccer fields, which is filled with dozens of Sudanese and South Sudanese Americans. SASF President Ibrahim Ahmed is one of them.
Actually, you know what? We want to gather all the Sudanese so our kids, they can be connected to Sudan, and they know the culture, they know the tradition and the customs, so they cannot lose the roots, you know. And also, the sports is going to help them to improve their skills in the field of soccer.
Organizers say creating the federation and organizing an annual soccer tournament was a modest idea that began with four teams and has now grown to 21 teams from 21 U.S. states and Canada. Since the federation was founded, Sudan was split into two countries, and South Sudan's two-and-a-half-year conflict has largely destabilized the country, while Sudan's economy has dramatically deteriorated. Despite the ongoing troubles in their home countries, Sudanese and South Sudanese participants say the soccer federation has helped them keep their culture alive within their American communities. Ahmed says the tournament is a family event, and as a parent, he focuses on instilling a sense of pride in the young participants.
That's the the advantage of this tournament, advantage of this event. They know their roots, and they know from where, even if they're born here, but still they learn from this kind of events, of all this kind of gathering, how to implement their tradition and the customs of their parents and grandparents, those immigrated from Sudan.
But the cost of organizing the tournament is not cheap. Hashim Karim, the former president of SASEF, says the teams have to come up with their own money to sponsor players and support the federation.
This tournament is about $35,000. For just the tournament, that does not include, for example, my team is coming from Texas. We have about $10,000 spent on tickets and hotel reservations. The team gets its own money and it pays to support the federation also.
Karim says the months of planning and thousands of dollars spent on the tournament are well worth it.
This is the only vacation that I take through the year. Work, 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 you know, living in America. So this is the only vacation that I have and the only time that I have. And I feel obligated and debted to my community.
SASA President Ibrahim Ahmed says plans are underway to host a tournament in the Midwest next year so that they can provide a central location in the country that might be a more convenient venue for most participants who are spread across the country. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Ayan Bior.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Boxing news now on the Voice of America. Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez will be back in the ring Saturday night in the southwestern United States. So says our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Sunny, September 17th, the Cowboy Stadium in Dallas is taking on Liam Smith for the WBO Junior Middleweight title. And you ask yourself, why is a man who was once the middleweight champion of the world going down to 154 pounds to take on Liam Smith, who in the fight game don't really know about or care about? People believe he's scared of Triple G, running away from Triple G, ducking Triple G.
Triple G and Canelo, when would they go up against each other?
Not anytime soon, because one, the promoter of Canelo needs to keep Canelo winning. He needs to keep Canelo bringing in the cash flow. You don't want to stop your cash flow if you're a promoter. Keep him away till maybe fall.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And Namdi will be back with more verbal jabs.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Joining us once again on the VOA is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world?
I want to start with two stories of activism that have been trending. The first is one we've been talking about for the past couple weeks, Colin Kaepernick's national anthem protest in the National Football League. And what we've seen this past Sunday and into last night's game were more players engaging in this behavior of either kneeling or sitting or even putting up a fist during the national anthem to show solidarity with Colin Kaepernick and his campaign to say that African Americans in the United States are being mistreated and aren't being represented properly. So we saw more players doing that, and then Colin Kaepernick doing it last night when the San Francisco 49ers took the field with the Los Angeles Rams. But this is an issue that touches on a lot of different areas, not just race, but also there's been issues of patriotism. There have been calls that Colin Kaepernick is un-American for not standing. There are people who have defended him and said it's his right as an American. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution allows for free speech and freedom of expression. And then there's a reputation issue. The two sides that I've seen some fans on social media burning Colin Kaepernick jerseys. One store put the jersey and duct taped it to the ground so people could use it as a floor mat when they go into the store to wipe their feet. But on the other side, Colin Kaepernick's jersey is now the top-selling jersey in the National Football League, and he's actually come out on social media and says he's going to donate all the proceeds from the jersey sales back to communities. So there's that issue of, you know, is he losing fans? Is he gaining fans because of what he's doing? It's a lot of these back-and-forth issues, and we're actually talking about this today on our hashtag VOA show that airs at 1730 UTC at voanews.com/hashtag VOA. So people can find out more about that there. But it's such a big issue here in the U.S. that we're actually devoting a whole half-hour television program to talk about it.
Big issue, complicated issue. I mean, it spans the political spectrum, sports, economic issues.
Absolutely.
Many of these athletes are very well paid.
And that's an issue that people have brought up, too. Some people say, well, he's getting paid so much. Why is it that he has to go and protest? But then people counter that and say, well, it's not mutually exclusive. Just because he's making a lot of money doesn't mean that he can't speak out. In fact, they say because he has that platform, it's his duty to speak out. So it is really a back and forth between the different sides on a whole bunch of, like you said, different issues playing into this. So it's, you know, every once in a while we get one of these sports stories that becomes even bigger than sports. It goes into these different areas, and this is one of those cases.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. And just a reminder, tomorrow will be Watch on Wednesdays at my Facebook page. We stream live, Facebook Live video, so you can get a good look at Andrew and myself here in Studio 22, and we might even have a few extras for you when you tune in. But just a quick plug at my Facebook page, you'll see me holding what promises to be a best-selling book by our friend Luis Piazza in Rio de Janeiro. Luis compiled reports that he did during the Olympics for the Voice of America, and he reflected on those reports, and he sent me a copy. So, obrigado, Luis. And in the acknowledgments, he mentioned Andrew.
All right. Well, thank you. Obrigado, indeed. Thank you very much, Luis.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, I want to talk about Rio in a little bit, but I want to talk about another one of these stories that's an activism story, and that's this HB2 bill, or I guess law now in North Carolina, the U.S. state of North Carolina. And this is a bill that was passed into law that rescinds protections for LGBT people, for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered people. It prohibits people from using a bathroom other than the one associated with their birth gender, not the one that they identify with. So a lot of people have taken issue with this law, including the NCAA, which manages college sports here in the United States. It's the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Is that correct, I believe?
Correct. That's the acronym.
Yes. Yeah. So make sure I wanted to get that right. But so what the NCAA has done is they've come out and they've said they are taking 7 championship events in college sports out of the state of North Carolina because of this bill. Things like the Division I Women's Soccer Championship, the Division I Women's Golf Regional, the Division II Baseball Championship, all of these different things. And probably the most notable, the one that gets seen most on TV, the Division I Men's and Women's Basketball Games. And the first round of the NCAA basketball are going to be taken out of North Carolina. That's, of course, March Madness, as we've talked about on the show before. So there's a lot of debate over this on social media. You have people that are praising the NCAA for this, saying, you know what, they haven't done everything right, but this, they really stepped up to try to defend people's rights. You have a lot of other people that are saying it shouldn't be something they get involved with. It's a political issue. They're overstepping their bounds, making this political statement. So this is another case where it's a back and forth over a contentious issue that sports has now come into, and people are talking about it through this kind of sports lens with these NCAA championships that are being pulled. And it's not just the NCAA, even I believe the National Basketball Association, they were going to have their All-Star game there, and they pulled it out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and moved it to New Orleans. So there are a lot of sports leagues that are looking at this law saying, we don't want to support that in any way, shape, or form, so we're going to remove our athletic competitions from the state.
You mentioned Charlotte, Andrew. That's the club owned by basketball great Michael Jordan, who is from North Carolina. So, yeah, this issue is affecting pocketbooks, too.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to know how Jordan feels, I mean, getting the game taken away from him.
Yeah, it's, you know, much like the Kaepernick issue, it's one that touches on economics. It touches on human rights. It touches on reputation and the economics and fandom, really, of these teams and of these events that are going on in North Carolina. So, again, it's one of those issues that we're going to keep following, but one that has gone from the sports world into a much broader context.
Andrew, the Paralympics taking place in Rio de Janeiro shortly after the Olympics closed there. Are they trending? Right,
they are. Now? And I mentioned I wanted to come back to Rio because this is an absolutely amazing story. The 1,500-meter men's race that they held on Sunday night. They hold different races and different events for different classifications of disability, and this was the race for the visually impaired. The three men who won this 1,500-meter race for the visually impaired, all three of them would have won gold in Rio at the Olympics. Mm. All three of them, and in fact, the top four finishers in the race finished faster than Matthew Centrowitz, who won the gold medal in Rio. So an amazing statistic there that these athletes are showing that even though they may face an impairment, they can compete with the best of them. And in fact, they can beat the best of them. So I'm curious to see in 4 years, when we go to Tokyo 2020, if any of these athletes would compete in the Olympics potentially.
Mm.
That's always something that people talk about. They talked about that a lot with Oscar Pistorius, for example, saying, could he compete in the Olympics? He's one of the fastest runners in the Paralympics. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see some athletes maybe trying to make a go at it. But this was just an amazing story that social media took off with, saying, for everybody who doubts Paralympics and para-athletes and says they can't compete with the best of them, this is your evidence that they absolutely can.
And Pistorius, if I remember correctly, he didn't win any medals at the Olympic level, but he did compete in some of the heats in London.
So we may very well see that again.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, from running in the Paralympics to running onto the football field, and we're bringing it full circle back to the San Francisco 49ers, who played the Los Angeles Rams last night. And a fan maybe had a little too much to drink, a little too much fun, ran out onto the field, as sometimes happens during sporting events, which the internet, you know, these things happen, they give these people some attention, and they move on. But the person who's getting the most attention is Kevin Harlan, who is a sportscaster here in the U.S. who is broadcasting the game for the ESPN Sports Network. Usually the broadcasters, when these fans run onto the field, they kind of say, oh, there's a fan, and they take a pause. Kevin Harlan broadcasts this as though it is the Super Bowl, you know, Hail Mary, running, winning touchdown. He goes, you know, he's running on the field. He's taking off his shirt. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's drunk. He's running. And he just has this energy when he does this. And so the fan says, you know, Kevin Harlan, they say, is a national treasure for doing this. This is the greatest play-by-play of a drunken fan running on the field that anyone has ever heard. They did end up catching the fan. But sadly for the Los Angeles Rams, the Los Angeles Rams lost to the 49ers 28-0. A lot of people saying, you know what, this drunken fan, I think he had more rushing yards than the whole of the LA Rams combined. So not good for the Rams, but I guess good for Kevin Harlan and maybe good for this fan.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the September 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Many in the international community held high hopes that the 2016 elections in Zambia would signal yet another win for democracy in Africa. But the run-up to the elections, as well as the post-election environment, were marred by violence, intimidation, and an environment that tilted the playing field unfairly in favor of the ruling party. This included the closure of the country's most popular and one of its few independent newspapers. The Post newspaper was shut down by the Government Revenue Service on claims of $6 million worth of unpaid taxes, while government news outlets and other entities that reportedly also owed substantial amounts to the Government Revenue Service remained open. After the election, Zambia's Broadcasting Regulation Entity, the Independent Broadcasting Authority, suspended the licenses of an additional 3 private media outlets, citing unprofessional conduct and unspecified national security grounds. The closure of independent media outlets without warning on ill-defined national security grounds carries with it the potential to muzzle all non-government-controlled media outlets and creates a chilling effect on freedom of speech. This is not the way a multi-party democracy operates. It is not the way to help the country unify after a close election. It is not the way to give confidence to the international community and outside investors that the rule of law is respected and carried out in a consistent manner in Zambia. The United States is disappointed that politically motivated violence and constraints on media freedom have continued after Zambia's August 11th general election, said State Department spokesperson John Kirby in a written statement. We are especially concerned about the Independent Broadcaster Association's August 22nd suspension of 3 broadcasting licenses, which is a continuation of a troubling pre-electoral trend of restrictions on independent media voices and freedom of peaceful assembly. Zambia's proud democratic traditions are not enhanced by such restrictions, nor will they help the country to unite and move forward. Zambia's election is over, and judicial authorities have carried out their constitutional duties to rule on the challenge to the election results. The United States government urges the government of the Republic of Zambia to work with the Zambian Revenue Authority and the Independent Broadcasting Authority to find a way forward that allows all media outlets to freely report. The free flow of information is an essential element of a democracy. The United States calls on all political actors to meet and seek reconciliation in a display of leadership.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou will discuss malaria research breakthroughs with her guest, Professor Kelly Shibali, researcher, University of Cape Town. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth one-on-one conversation with Namibian president. The wide-ranging discussion will include the president's vision for the future of the Southern African nation. That's next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.